It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and in studio, senior editor of Freedom's Phoenix is Pal Gamel. Good afternoon, Pal.
Good afternoon, Ernie. Pleasure to be here.
You know what we're going to do today is we'll go over some of the stuff, but eventually it's going to build up to Mark J. Victor, criminal defense attorney. He's in a hearing right now. As soon as he gets out of that, he'll be here before the top of the next hour, hopefully. And we'll have a couple hours to go over this baseline killer thing. And I know you had studied a lot of the documents between detectives and the crime labs and what's going on. And I'm going to talk about why this is important to me, because we lived through this. It's so depictive. Is that a word?
No, it's definitely descriptive. It's so blatant on what the government didn't do that it always claims it's there to do for us.
That's my point. You know, is this, we have been doing this for, you know, decades, and you always come up against, they'll always use police and firemen as the excuse for taking more money from you. And of course, they'll waste it on whatever, you know, but that's, you know, we need another $1 billion so we can give $100 million to the police and, you know, $900 million to our friends. I mean, you know, it's that kind of thing. You know, numbers may be off. They may not be. I mean, certainly over a period of years. So I'm going, it just so happened. It was right after they did one of these big threat of death and destruction if you don't give the city more money for police. And they get a crime lab, and they went all high tech on everything, all that kind of stuff. And the little inside, you know, ouch, quit it. We need more money. You didn't give. We went blah, 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 blah. And people are continually being murdered at a steady rate. And they use this story to even, hey, this is working out pretty good. We need more money, you know. And I'm going, this is, and we start finding out the truth behind what was going on. It's a made-for-TV movie. You know, it's one thing. You put in baseline, that graphic that we use, you know, it says baseline killer, and we put that graphic up with the stories. You know,
right,
the woman with her hand over her mouth. You know, that is the cover art for a movie that was made about baseline killer.
Yep, somebody made a movie about it.
I never even heard of it or seen it.
I don't know how strongly it's based on the actual event as opposed to whether it's a slasher flick or not.
But, I kind of get the impression it's just a, you know.
But that's fine. I mean, basically, somebody took advantage of the thing and made a movie out of it.
Well, our friend Derry Matera is an author. He was trying to get publishers to buy the book. He wanted to do the book on it. And I've been, you know, talking to him. I'm going, Derry, we got all the goodies for you. You know, that's one thing. I should give him a call again after all this stuff coming out. Because he couldn't get publisher. They're really starting to. He's written a lot of books, a lot of historical books. You know, a lot of Babyface Nelson or something? He did one on Elvis. He did one on What's in It for Me. It was a corruption sting here in Arizona. He's done, you know, a lot of the, you know, during the Depression in the roaring 20s and the gangland. It's always some crime drama kind of factual documentary thing. And so he has publishers that do it, but they, for some reason, man, they didn't want to play on this one. I'm not really sure why. We're going to, as this gets further along, I think he might have an easier time of selling this.
Yeah, it's not like there's that many serial killers out there. Everybody likes to, the police certainly like to promote that there's, you know, they're all over the place, just hiding behind the bushes. But in this particular case, you had somebody who basically murdered eight people, and was a serial rapist prior to that. So You know, you'd think that that would be a wonderful true crime story. I hate that, and I actually hate crime stories, but...
If you're going to have them, I mean, this would definitely be in the list.
It terrorized the community of Phoenix for months, and in fact...
Amped up.
They were at one point thinking there might be two separate serial killers going on the loose on the east and west side of town operating at the time, you know, which is really would be statistically amazing.
Well, the other thing that was going on was... at the time, there's like an inside little cover-up thing going on. And we could sense it. It's like, I tell you what it's like. It's like the mosque. They'll build up this big thing, and you find out the people that created the issue are the ones against it. I mean, you know, it's just they make this stuff up as they go along.
Yeah, it's pretty bad when the guy in the charge of the mosque turns out to be A, working for the FBI, A, B, working for the State Department, going on a goodwill tour for the United States government, and he's done that in the past. And what the heck was the third thing? It was like,
well, one of the big guys financing it is a big owner of Fox News.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. It's like you just sit there and go, give me a break, come on.
So there's a lot of, I tell you, you know, and Pal's a good person to have in to discuss this, because every day we will go through the news, and I'll tell you how you do it. I mean, you can do it just along with, we have our favorite places. I have my own hot links. He has his. But one thing that I did just to make it easy, and because I share with all y'all, you go to the top of Freedoms Phoenix, Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. And in that horizontal navigation bar, it'll say search. Now you can search by keyword. You can search anything on our Freedoms Phoenix site through Google or not through Google and on our own site. And there's all kinds of search things. But right below that, it says media news, media blogs, media government. And the only one that I really use is media news. You click on media news and it goes to a category where we have reference links that go to all these different pages. So it's a quick way of doing it. I just right click on the link like WikiLinks and it says open link in new tab. And I go that and I go to Wired, open link in new tab, go to Lou Rockwell, open link in new tab. All of these different references, and we have a bunch of them. So I'll just name some of them so you can see where a lot of the stuff on Freedom City, where do they get that? How do they know that? Well, a lot of it is from our readers and other writers, and we have dozens of editors that will, you know, we call them writers because we don't want to give them editor status. That gives them some kind of like claim to, we used to call them editors, and they go, well, I'm an editor of Freedom's Phoenix, meaning like they got to determine content or something. They're like, no. we'll call you writers now, you know, because that was being abused. So we have writers that are able to post straight onto the site. Well, of course, they have theirs. We have people that play Be a Reporter, and they send us whatever stuff they think's of interest. A lot of the listeners to the show do that, and it keeps going up. Well, of course, we also have our favorite sites that we go to, so this is what we do. WikiLeaks. Wired Magazine has a lot of great stuff. Lou Rockwell, MIT Technology Review. I mean, this is, you know, leading edge stuff. Popular Science Magazine has whatever DARPA propaganda is coming out, which is seriously, that's a whole nother story. Raw Story, very progressive. The left, you know, MSNBC, you know, Mike Malloy. What's her name? What's a female MSNBC?
Rachel Maddow.
Yeah, Maddow. And a lot of that kind of stuff, you know, but they do a pretty good job. They, you know, they're not too obviously slamming like Huffington Post.
Rachel Maddow really is a tool ever since Obama.
Well, of course they are, but I mean, you know, I mean, if I had to compare Raw Story with Huffington Post.
No, I'm not saying Raw Story. Raw Story is an excellent publication for left wing. It is left wing.
Yeah, no, it's definitely left.
But they do a great job of trying to keep their editorializing away from their, from the actual postings. I mean, they may editorialize in the headline, which is fine. We do that too. But for the most part, they're publishing pretty hardcore news.
You know,
articles.
We don't do that like they do. I tell you how our, this is the one thing that I really get on the writers. They'll be like, you know, Mike Wren, you know who I'm talking about. You know, when they come up, it'll be a link to another article off site. And it'll be, you know, on CBS, blah, blah, blah. And it says, Iran does fill in the blank. Okay. Well, some writers will change it. You know, the scumbag Ayatollah Muslim need to be shot and bombed, Iran people said. I mean, you know, you editorialize the headline. I'm like, no. If you're going to link to somebody else's stuff, you use the same headline, you know, because you want to editorialize. That's what the graphic's for. You want to get your opinion. There's always a graphic that'll help 1,000 words of a picture. And, you know, because things are coming out like, I'll tell you another one today. Iranian newspaper calls for death of French First Lady. All right. Well, this is Mike Renzulli. Yeah, here we go. And so it says, Iranian newspaper calls for death of French First Lady. It's a BBC article. Let's go ahead and click on it. Now, let's go see what the actual headline is. I got on them about this. Because I've been getting on them about this crap. So let's go ahead and go to the headline. Iranian insults against Brunei unacceptable, France. See, he changes it.
Maybe, but I could have sworn I saw that headline floating out there somewhere.
Well, not linked to this one.
And in fact, that is what it did. It called for her death along with calling her a prostitute.
Well, fine, put that in the summary. Don't go changing the headline. Mm. You know, that's why, you know, that's one thing. Whoa. But I have the
Isn't that a better headline than the one you just read from the BBC?
Does not matter. I want to fix it right now. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, and senior editor of freedomsphoenix.com, Pal Gamble. And we're going to be going over some goodies here in a little bit, but I want to keep going over the headline stuff here after I fixed. Iranian newspaper calls for the death of the First Lady. Well, is that what they did? Yep, that's what they did. But was that original headline? No! You want to do your own sub-headline, knock yourself out, man. That's one of the pep. I get to be publisher, man. You know, this is my thing. You know, don't be, because we ran into this situation before. It was years ago. I just remembered what it was. There was one of our writers, Gene Carbonneau, out of Maine. Now, he sees in the Boston Globe, there was a story. Well, it was linked to by another page, an aggregator, you know, not as sophisticated as Freedom's Phoenix, but some blog somewhere or something. And they changed the headline. It was something to do with gay community something. And he's like, the sodomites are, you know, blah, 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 blah. Remember that?
I do remember sodomites.
So he took that headline and put it up. That's what the headline was of whatever it was on this blog thing. And he was highlighting, you know, some whatever the heck they were doing. He didn't care. You know, he's a libertarian guy, but he was making a point out of whatever it was that they were making a big deal out of. Well, then we had the gay community came after us. I think it wasn't really this one guy, but he's going after all our advertisers. He's calling me. They editorially, they amped it up. They, you know, whatever. And I'm going, Gene, what the heck, man? Why did you go? Yeah, that's what the headline was. What happened was, is this blog had got the article from the Boston Globe, and they linked to it, but they changed the headline. Well, he took the headline that they used and posted it up on Freedom's Phoenix. But that wasn't the original headline of the original story out of the Boston Globe. So it's kind of, and we demonstrated and showed people, said, look, yeah, we're sorry. You know, we didn't change the headline. We just got it from the guys that did. So that is a very sensitive part, because then you're not just providing information, you're editorializing on it, which I don't mind. That's what original articles and opinions are for. You can say whatever you want, but don't go changing what somebody else said and then posting it. That's just bad form. But in the summary, yeah, I know Pal's like, yeah, you know, this is just some good fun. But I'm going, no, nah, that's publisher thing, man. I'm just, no. But if on the mid-page, you want to make whatever comment you want to say whatever opinion you have about it, you want to knock yourself out. But don't change what somebody else did on their work. It's just, where do you stop? I mean, you could have, it's called The Onion, man. I mean, you could just do a whole satire page on it. I got a call. I don't know if you know about this. I got a call last week right before, God, where was I leaving? I was going somewhere. I got a call from, the day I think before I went to Valley Forge or something. I got back, I can't remember. I got a call from Robert Sarver, the owner of the Suns. Did I tell you about this?
Yeah, you did. I never heard the end of it, but.
What happened is Dave Hodges, one of our columnists, and also he's a teacher and a girls basketball coach at Glendale Community College. And he has a radio show on a weekend, and he also writes columns. And he did a satire piece, kind of like a Hunter Thompson thing, on Robert Sarver kind of flip-flopping on this immigration deal. And I'm not even really care, you know, pick a side, whatever.
And it was funny.
And, you know, and I didn't even read it. I mean, I went over it. I, you know, kind of glanced over. I saw what he was doing. And what it was is he got, he was quoting Governor Brewer as saying, yeah, well, what if we just went into your basketball game and didn't pay for tickets or, you know, that kind of thing, comparing with immigration and so on. So it was, you know, this kind of article. Well, it got legs. It went viral. Man, it was everywhere, all over the internet.
It was being reported as factual, a factual right, quote by right. the governor on.
Because in the article, you know, it has like in quotes, governor says, and it was a satire piece.
And it was that. I mean, you're sitting there going, I was like, okay. But I could kind of see where maybe somebody could think that was legitimate, but it was.
Oh, they were going to say it was whether they thought it was or not.
I tend to think that's what it was.
That's what happened. So Robert calls me and he says, he left a message on my cell phone. He's like, hey, give me a call. You know, this is Robert Sarver, Phoenix Suns, and I'm like, right, what the heck is he calling me about? So I didn't even know who the owner of Phoenix Suns. I don't know, I don't care. So I go on, I do a Google, okay, well, that's this guy's name, you know, and it was a long distance number, 619 or something, I can't remember where. So I go like this, I go, all right. So I call him back, Robert, word up, man, what's happening? So he told me what the deal was, that this wasn't factual and that it was being reported as such. I said, you know what? Let's get this taken care of right now. So I get Dave on the phone. We do a three-way. And I go, Dave, hey, I got Robert here. This is being reported. And, you know, what's the deal? And he goes, well, it's obviously satire. I go, does it say that? Well, no, I go, but everybody know they have to. They'd be an idiot not to think it was satire. And I go, you know, that's not how it's being used. Do me a favor. Leave it up. Because if you take it down, then it's going to be, you know, conspiracy, whatever. Anyway, leave it up, but at the top, but, you know, this is a satire piece, and, you know, anybody that says it's not an idiot or whatever, you know. So he changed it, left it up there. Okay, problem solved. Yeah, they're all cool. But Dave's like, well, I, because it got what he wanted. He goes, hey, he's such a hypocrite. And they're like arguing over each, you know, to each other on the three-way. I go, whoa, 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 whoa. Stop. You're confusing me with someone that cares, man. All I want is the accuracy on there so we maintain our integrity. Put it on there. Would you please put it up there to make sure it's clear that this is satire? You guys can duke it out and yell at each other and comment and back and forth all you want later. I just want Freedom's Phoenix taken care of. Yep, done, boom, problem solved. Now, what happened after that? I don't care. Because Freedom's Phoenix is, we're up to about 100,000 entries now. 100,000 headlines.
We might be over that.
I mean, it is a lot. You know, I can tell right now, but it's close to that. So I'm just going, you know, this is a lot. Oh yeah, we're like 110,000.
Yeah, I'm somewhat concerned at our database size.
Well, like, see, that's one of the problems that we're having.
Are we coming up to some sort of maximum limit where we're going to start having problems or not?
No, we already have. That's why we're changing a lot of the behind the scenes stuff that we're doing. Is, you know, to do the search and the display and have the site be the archive resource that it is, the way that we use it as activists. Once it gets on Freedom's Phoenix, hello. Oh, I'll tell you another story. Well, anyway, so we're doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes to kind of streamline the way the data, you know, we started this in 05. You know, I mean, we're old geezer boys, man. We've got gray, all of us got gray hair. And we're like, is there some 13-year-old out there who can help us how we can get this? You know, so that's what's happening. We're getting more and more streamlined and so we can grow because it is going to keep getting bigger. We keep hitting limits all the time because it's so popular. I got a, God, what was the story? You know, there was, oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah, you remember. It was an article you wrote about John Stewart and his murder case. Okay, now this is an interesting case, too. John Stewart was out putting up signs for Ron Paul during the Super Bowl of 08.
08.
And it was the Patriots versus the Giants. You know, and we had logos that had Ron Paul. Yeah, you're wearing the shirt. As Ron Paul, the Patriot logo with Ron Paul's profile in it. It's a beautiful logo. You go put Ron Paul Patriot and you just do it in a Google image shirt and you'll see it. I'm sure, I'm sure you'll see it. And we were putting all these up everywhere. And also they had the Tournament Players Club. It was the Phoenix Open was going on in the same week. So we had sky riding going on. We had planes pulling signs. We had signs everywhere. We had helium filled blimps, you know, little like 2-3 foot blimps with Ron Paul Revolution on it, and put it on monofilament line, and it goes up a light pole, and you couldn't get them down.
And the Bear Jackson Auto Show, several other auto shows were in town doing that. Same time, we were hitting those. They were getting chased off by security guards. It was great.
We had it. We saturated the Bowery. They didn't know what the heck was going on. Well, there was a big party at the Open, and that night they're putting them up, and they're leaving, going down Cave Creek, which is kind of an isolated road, coming back into Phoenix. And this guy was drunk. I mean, he was swerving all over the road, so John just kind of sped up around him, gets up, they get to the light, the guy gets out of his car, comes over, he's all roided up and everything, and on his blog, yeah, like beating people up, and goes and starts reaching in the truck and pounding on him. This is all stipulated. They're sitting there beating him at the light. And somebody had a gun in the truck, bang, forehead dead. And then they started trying him for murder. And that's still going on.
Two years later.
Powell wrote a story on this. I'll tell you about it when we come back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're back in the saddle again here on Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock, senior editor of freedomsphoenix.com, Pal Gamble. Well, I just talked to John Stewart. This is what he said to me right before we came on. He goes, I said, 3 weeks ago they did a, you know, we'll take it under advisement to dismiss all kinds of craps going on in his case. And they said, well, they denied it. They want to have a hearing again on the 8th to do something. They were going to have trial by the 26th or something of this month. They want to extend that and get a new prosecutor.
They're not supposed to be able to do that because the last date was set for the 3rd of October, and which is the last, you know, they keep saying this is the last possible date these trials. This is like the 7th or 8th time they've done that. And get this, the prosecutor said, well, Your Honor, I won't be able to make that. And the judge said, I don't care. You just, you know, tell the prosecutor. And this is 3 weeks ago. Judge goes, you get somebody else from the prosecutor's office to handle it then. You know, that's no problem. Just somebody else takes over.
This is what Mark always says, and he'll sure repeat this when he comes in. If it benefits the defense, it's disallowed. If it benefits the prosecution, it's allowed. This has been going on ever since I've known him. You know, I've known Mark since 94, being a criminal defense attorney. I'm telling you, I've heard and seen a lot. I mean, and him even more than me, I'm sure, but damn. Well, what happened was there was an attorney that was assigned. It's like $250,000 they gave him. You know, they a bunch of, you know, mortgaged homes did, you know, ready, all right, it, kick butt, let's go. You know, it's before we really knew these guys very well or had common friends, so they should have went to Mark. But they go to this guy, great reputation, we're going to go kick butt. Part of what happened was they were charging him with filing somehow illegal. He's the first person to ever have been charged with, I think it was a felony at the time, with filing paperwork with the court. Whatever it was, they didn't like it.
Yeah, filing false documents, I think, is what they call it.
Yeah, you know, where is it false? I mean, you know, and this became its own issue. Well, the attorney is like, yeah, we need to find out what the heck, man. So he wanted to depose the judges that were involved. There was a judge that passed to a bailiff to another judge. Kind of, okay, well, we'll find out what's going on. We'll get on record. Judge, I want to depose in that. Oh, the Zeus came out of the sky on that one, okay? Now, clouds parted, the lightning bolt started. Oh, heck no. You do not depose, man. Where you been practicing law, boy? So all of a sudden, you know, the deal with the bar, so you know, him to stay out of hot water and be able to practice law here, and his reasons are sealed in the court. All of a sudden, he comes out, I'm dropping you, can't have you, and it gives you, we'll give you part of your money back, and we're done. Why? What just happened? Sealed. Not allowed to know. It's all done. Sucks to be you. So this case has been going on. It's been weird from the beginning. What we start, when we start doing little investigations and so on, just like we're doing this baseline thing, we started finding out the guy that was killed, that he went to a place called the Watering Hole. It's a big resort up here in North Central Phoenix that has like a, you know, their club. It's like a bar and they got their own blog and records of him saying how he likes to just beat up people, a traffic stop, you know, I mean, you have to light, somebody cuts him off and everything, he pounds on him, he's roiding up, I mean, uses steroids and so on, he has a history of violence, he's advocating it, but he's politically connected, okay? He's part of some financial thing that goes into the attorney's, county attorney's office and knows somebody. These are all the rumors and stuff. People coming around, thou shalt not mess with. So as this starts to come out, you know, where do they stop? Do they just drop it? Do they stop the prosecution? Do they continue with it? Do they have people coming in that's going to, I mean, you know, how far do they want to go with this thing? So this is what's happened. John got caught in the middle of this because a guy all of a sudden is reaching into his car at a stoplight, beating him up, pounding him in the face, and then a gun goes off, shoots the guy. You would think that that would be the end of it, you know, self-defense. They go, well, he was backing up. You know, he was no longer a threat. Or whatever. They stipulate there he was pounding the crap out of him. So, of course, he says, the heck he was, and his head was like in the car. He's pounding, and there's blood on the car and blood inside the car. And, you know, how'd that happen if he wasn't in the car? Oh, I'm sorry. That car got washed away.
Yes, it did.
It rained. We cleaned it. We're so sorry.
The evidence, gosh, we failed to preserve that evidence. Sorry.
So this is, you know, these are, I mean, weird stuff. Now, this is what's going on here. I'm going to tell you something you didn't know, pal. This morning, I get a call back. I left a message for Al Ramirez, our liaison to the Phoenix Police Department. You know, community service, confrontation prevention squad, these kind of guys. You know, who do you want to call? If you're going to be doing something, you know the man's going to be there with their left and their right jackboot on your throat, okay, uniforms. And I go, the Liberty on Tour RV, Marv, they... Oh, I don't remember what Marv stands for. They call the RV Marv. It's mobile something.
They are recreation vehicle.
Yeah, we're going to come kick your butt, the bus. But they started in New Hampshire. They're going all the way across the country. They're in Salt Lake now. I think they leave Salt Lake now, going to San Diego. Well, I have them stop in Los Angeles to meet a guy who's ex-professional basketball players getting buzzed by helicopters like David DeGroot was. Remember David?
Seriously? Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. No, this guy years been dealing with this. And what happens is he goes, hey, I was going on I saw your site. That's what's been going on with me for years. I go on vacation to Palm Springs and get helicopters buzzing me. They've got GPS on my phone. They're tracking my car. And my neighbors, they know, well, I know you're coming home because here come helicopters. I mean, you know, it's what happened is he was dating a girlfriend of one of the helicopter pilots. Okay. Or, I mean, that's what he said. It could have been ex-wife, for all I know. I don't know what the issue was. But, you know, the point is that this helicopter pilot, he has the skills. And they have all this electronics. They can track people. This is not like a secret. You know, heck, they've been doing this since the OJ, you know, slow white Bronco chase. I mean, that's how they tracked them, was a cell phone. You know, so this has been going on since for freaking ever. They just want you to know this. So what happens is he has to change his phone all the time. He has to, you know, and he's just, man, it's just every time they leave to come off to go to work, they have to buzz by my house. Coming back, they buzz it. We know this. David DeGroot. He was a guy that came up with a louver that goes over your license plate that they couldn't get a photograph, you know, from these red light cameras and so on of your license plate. Well, he's advertising on television. He's, you know, making a big deal. Man, they wanted to go after him. So we went to the police station with the television cameras there from Channel 15, and we go there, you know, or we covered it and so on. I was helping him, and he had his brother videotape and so on. Okay, this isn't legal. He goes on the street, comes back, says, give me my ticket. The city attorney's there going, no, because we knew what the law says. It had to be visible at 100 feet. Well, you can't even tell the things on there at 100 feet. It's just that from the angle. So... then he goes, I said, make sure you do this. Look around the parking lot, and you'll see pickup trucks with their tailgate down. Because the cops know this. Put your tailgate down, You never get a ticket from the red light things because they can't see your license plate. Well, this is how some of these cars are now made, is you open your tailgate, got that little gate comes down, you increase your square footage in your truck bed. You know, this kind of, you know, I mean, is that legal? Legal? I mean, come on, you know. So he points this out, and of course, the television cameras will swing over there, zoom in on it, and everything. Well, they felt they got sandbagged. We want another bite at them. No, you had your chance. Tell them you're done, because I was helping them, you know, get through the PR thing of this. I still had my restaurant then. Mark Victor sent them to me because he goes, I can't help you. You don't have a government number. Where's your arrest number? Where's your ticket number? You got a number? You just want an opinion from me? I'm not the attorney general. You need to get a ticket. And I go, let's go get a ticket. Well, they didn't give a ticket. And they were mad because they had, you know, so you can see it's just, so what happened? Here come the helicopters. Because they can't. It's punitive punishment. They just following his kid to work, you know. It was amazing, to the point that he got, you know, surveillance cameras and video, and he did all this stuff. Didn't matter. So this guy reads this article, and he's like, "Hey, man, I got the same thing happening to me."
And why do they do this, Ernie?
Because they can.
Because they're evil.
They're not good. Let's put it that way. So then we go. All right, I said, you know, it just so happens that Liberty on Tour is coming to San Diego from Salt Lake. I go, you pay for their gas, you say handshake, how you do, and here's however much gas money you need to come visit with me. This is what they do. So hopefully they'll go by and visit with the guy, and we'll get some stories out of that. So that's an aside. The other thing is that we have them coming to Phoenix here the 22nd of September, and they'll have a party here that Friday on the 24th, and they'll be here for like a week. We'll go to the lake. We'll have a good time. There'll be some instance that there'll be a crowd of people, and there's going to be some jackboots going, where's your ID? And then here we go. Cameras get confiscated. People get arrested. I'm not IDing myself. I'm not doing anything wrong. Kiss my butt. You respect my authority. Boom. So I talk to Al, and I go, Al, do me a favor. I was on my way driving, and I just said, go to these two sites, Liberty on Tour, just Google that, and Cop Block. Just go there, and then we'll talk about it. Tell you about our conversation when we come back, and what the plan is. Try and keep the Phoenix Police Department from getting in trouble, because we love you. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey! Where we are broadcasting from, Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. I'm in studio with Pal Gamble, senior editor of freedomsphoenix.com. I'm finishing my story. Let me tell you my story. I left a message for Al Ramirez. He's our representative that we communicate with the Phoenix Police Department. And the reason is, I mean, you know, that's his job. He's going to represent, you know, he's not going to represent, you know, freedom. He's not going to represent the people. He's not going to represent anybody else but the Phoenix freaking Police Department. I guarantee you that. You got somebody that's going to be out there being community guy and, you know, confrontation prevention squad and so on. It is definitely for the benefit of the Phoenix police. It is not because they love you. Now, of course, it's in their best interest not to, you know, just walk into traps and, you know, just be stupid on videotape, which is what Liberty on Tour and Cop Block, you know, they it's so obvious. They expect the police. They're not going to respect your rights. They're not going to let you just go out to an event and, you know, pass out stuff or just hang there or take video of actions going on and different gatherings and so on. Hey, who are you? You got video. They got to intimidate you. You're not allowed to videotape. You're not allowed. So I'm going, okay. Well, of course, they videotape them saying they can't videotape, or the videotaper videotaping the videotape guy videotaping the videotaper. I mean, you know, of course this is going to get out. It's like multiple, you know, these guys are experienced. Don't be stupid. They don't know any better. It doesn't matter how many times you can do this. Every single city, they stop by. So I go, Al, they'll be here on the 22nd. You know, what are they going to be doing? Where are they going? I have no idea. You know, and he's looking at their route, and he goes, well, it says they're going to be at your place in 20. I go, that's a party, man. They're not going to be, what are you going to do? You know, raid the party? And I go, you know, that has nothing to do with it. They'll be at, like, well, he goes, like, what? I go, well, they went to the Denver Bronco game, and they're tailgating out in the parking lot and getting harassed. So that was, you know, a big deal. Then before they went to this, you know, event, you know, blah, blah, blah. And one before that is another one. I mean, it's just, you know, you can always count on the officers doing that. Respect my authority, slapping you around. You will ID, arrested on the ground, take your camera, go in the court. And then they're, you know, immortalized as being stupid, you know, and part of the bad guys and the, you know, jackboot wearing, stomping guys on the internet forever and always. Amen. Can we avoid that? And he's like, yeah. You let me know. You know what? You know, put me in contact. I said, there's a contact thing. You write them. You know, you deal with it. I don't even need to be in it, man. You guys work it out. You know, I don't even know what their sky. I don't know where they're going. They probably don't even know. They get here. There's always something. You know, but I'd like to, you know, let's have a good experience in Phoenix. You are there to protect their rights to be anywhere. Filming public officials, you know, constitutional expression and protecting the First Amendment and by you, blah, 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 blah. Because you're the same guys that we dealt with when we did the, you know, AR-15 Obama came thing. If they can do that, they can sure as heck, you know, let them videotape something. I mean, come on. You know, so and maybe they even be wearing a sidearm. Heck, I'd be even better. So I'm going, you know, come on. You know, can we, you know, not have another black eye? So he's like, yeah, you know, okay, that's cool. Yeah, we can do that. We'll see what happens. So I'm like, all right, cool. We'll work it out. I go, then after that, then we'll send them over to Mesa to get the crap beat out of them. Or Scottsdale or anywhere else. You know, but, you know, Phoenix would be good guys in this one. So they're like, you know, they appreciate that. Well, that's why they want to, you know, be buds. Oh, yeah, and on that other thing, Ernie. Other thing? What other thing? You know, the baseline thing. Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, Pal and Mark is going to come in. We're going to talk about some. Because today, what he doesn't know is today, Mark filed an amended complaint, adding a bunch of other stuff to the lawsuit today. And they, you know, they don't know about that. And I would have told them if I remember. I forgot. And I'm going, oh yeah, there's more stuff coming. Told ya. Okay, so what's going on now is that he's like, I passed on your concerns to all the boys, the Phoenix Police. You know, I washed my hands of it. I was your message boy. And I'm going, all right. The main thing, the one thing that we wanted to make sure was very clear. As this starts to break open, there will be police officers. There are police officers begging for an opportunity to tell the truth. There are detectives begging to tell. In fact, these are the guys, or a lot of them, that caused this to get out anyway. They are so angry that they knew they could stop all these murders, and they came up against politics and bureaucracy.
Yeah, it's bad.
Bad.
And it's, you sit there and go, what were they doing it to essentially protect the new crime, shiny crime lab that they had built, you know, so that they were the ones doing the testing and getting the glory, even though it took 9 friggin' months for them to get around to doing the actual test, or and actually it was done by the Department of Public Safety's crime lab.
Anyway, they went down the street anyway after demands by the detectives.
Yeah,
on
the police union was called in and said, hey, what's going on? We're going to make a public stink of this if you don't do something about it. So
finally what happened, it got down to the point that our concern is, you know, the facts are already the facts. We, you know, I tell them, I go, assume we know everything, you know, and whatever we don't know, I'm sure will come out anyway. But the we know more than you think we do. Have been investigating this for over a year. Pal's been on it. And Pal, what a lot of people didn't know, is that Pal, what was your title at Arizona Health Department?
I was Public Health Microbiologist 3. I was the supervisor of the bioterrorism detection section.
So, know how to do DNA tests, do you?
Yeah, I do. I've never done the actual test that they did on the base leg killer thing, but I've done the polymerase chain reaction that they initially use for it, and I certainly know about the test, how it works.
So here is, you know, the head of the bioterrorism lab at the Arizona State Department of, okay? That's what Powell's former life was. He loved microbiology, man. That's his thing. You know, so here we have a guy that understands, and you've done a lot of testing for crimes, I would imagine, too, haven't you?
I have worked fairly extensively with probably every police agency in this state during the anthrax Mailing's incident.
So here's somebody that, you know, that knows, all right? So we give all this data, all these reports that we get in various and sundry ways, and freedom of information requests, other press outlets, when we get it all accumulated, and here, pal, go through this, tell us what's what. Well, of course, we get the story also from Mark, and he'll be talking about this. So when we present this, we loaded it all up on Freedom's Phoenix, made PDFs out. It took us 8 hours to get all this stuff in, put it up there, said, look, here it is, now everybody knows. I don't have to worry about, you know, waking up dead someday.
Yeah, I got to say, when I'm reading those PDF documents, there's a lot of stuff that's missing. It's pretty obvious there's gaps in these documents that I've been meaning to talk to Mark Victor about it. It's like he may or may not care about them because some of them test results that he may not care about. But I'm just like looking at him going, no, these are like the results, but they're not the actual test documents. And actually, from reading the results, I actually have questions about the tests anyway. So
this is, you know, there's more and more and more coming out. And we wanted to make sure everybody knew where it was. We were a resource for this because here we go. Because our motivations are, and everybody has their own motivation. The Phoenix Police Department and the government and everything, they want to hide this big time. If they thought, you know, 100,000, a million or whatever, just make this all go away or something, without hesitation. But it's not going away. And it's not really about money. What happened is that Mark Victor represents three of the families that had their loved ones killed by this guy after they should have been able to, you know, if they just tested the thing and used their new crime lab, you know, properly to do this, they would have found him. You know, yep, that's him. He's in database. Done. Done, 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 done.
He'd have been arrested for rapes and probably convicted based on what I've seen of the evidence. But, you know, and he never would have killed. Well, he may have come out later on and started killing people. I don't know. But he wouldn't have killed those eight people that he ultimately killed.
So this was, it was just, it, you know, so Mark, of course, represents these families. They do a notice of claim, and they go through all the process, and it'll be years and forever. And I'm like, you know, Mark goes, you know this will be years. And I go, if we're lucky, I would drag this thing out for freaking ever. You can drag this out as long as you want, because that serves us. And the education of the people on exactly what, the more time, the better on this thing. Because people need to understand exactly what's happened and continuing to happen. And we found in other activists around the country that the crime labs are in collusion with the prosecutors to get whatever results they want when they want. And if it is, what do they call it, exculpatory or something? If it is.
Exculpatory is the evidence that would.
Clear the defendant.
Clear the defendant, and they somehow miraculously,
we lost that part.
We didn't, we included that. Sure, it's right here in the documentation. Of course, they can't, I guess we didn't include that, Your Honor.
And this happened, this stuff is, so as we do a lot of other cases and we get involved in the criminal defense part of this, and somebody that's a trial attorney, not a paper shuffler, not to do your, negotiate your plea, not to hold your hand to walk through the process while they do rubber stamp and you due time, someone that's an actual trial attorney, we go into court, like with Pastor Steven Anderson, with a double not guilty. You know, so this is, you know, this is, oh man, this is what we, uncovering the secrets, exposing the lies. It's Freedom's Phoenix. This is what we do all the time. Well, now they're wanting to, you know, we'll see what happens. My main focus is this one thing. All of these officers that are wanting to come out have been receiving threats to their jobs, their lives, their livelihood, their fans, family, content, blah, 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 blah. That stops. That was the message of the Phoenix Police Department. I'm going, look, these guys come out, we're going to seek the truth. Are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to play? Yeah, I know you guys got guns. I know you got the unlimited resources of, but talk to anybody. Yeah, we got our methods. So the truth's coming out. Let it go, man. Just let it go. Mark's in the house. We'll have him going over all the details when we come back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.